Happy New Year to everyone, and on today's PPSC PDP call on Thursday the 6th of January, we have James Bladel, Alex Gakuru, Tatiana Kramtsova, Paul Diaz, Alan Greenberg, Avery Doria, Wolf Ulrich Norden. From staff, we have Marika Konings, Margie Milam, Glenda Saint-Géry, and myself, Gisela Gruber-White. Apologies noted from Jeff Newman. And if I could please just remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, James.
Hi. Good morning. Thank you, Gisela. And this is James Bladel. And as Gisela mentioned, Jeff Newman, our chair, is on vacation today, enjoying some warmer weather. So he has asked me to step in and moderate the discussions today. We have two goals for today's call. The first is to discuss and finalize the proposed timeline for the delivery of the final report, which is the timeline that Marika has in the Adobe Connect window for those of you who are on Adobe Connect. If there is time remaining, then Jeff has asked that we then move into discussing or continue our discussion of outstanding issues, and if possible, then move into the discussion of the final report. But I think that the primary task that's right in front of us is the finalizing this timeline. Jeff has mentioned that we are required to have this delivered to Council by January 19th, but if all possible, he'd like to get this to the Council by January 13th, which is, I believe, the document cutoff for their next meeting. Is everything I said correct, Marika, or am I missing out some of those dates?
This is Marika. I just missed the last point you made, because the 13th of January is the next meeting, and I think Jeff is saying that he would like to submit it just before that date, so the Council has it available for that meeting.
And when would the documents cut off the submission deadline be to have something considered for that meeting?
The cutoff date actually for motions, I think, was yesterday, and reports, I think, is the same day. I mean, I don't know this kind of information if there's an official cutoff date for it, because it's actually for information kind of document. So I'm not really sure. Actually, probably Wolf might know, because he's been part of the OSC. I don't know if there's an official deadline for this kind of information when that gets submitted to the Council.
It's Alan. I don't think there's a formal cutoff date for documents other than those associated with motions.
Okay. So let's proceed under the assumption that if we can get this finalized by the 13th, which is a week from today, that should be ready for the next Council meeting, which probably means that we would have to have it done by the 12th. But I think that is really somewhat immaterial. We just need to proceed through with what we have in front of us and then hand this back to Jeff with our comments and hopefully with our blessing. Hopefully everyone had a chance to at least give this a cursory overview. I think it was sent initially on December 9th. So perhaps if I could ask Marika to walk us through this document, and we can go from there.
This is Marika. So, yeah, I'm happy to run through the document. As you note on the Adobe Connect, what I've done is basically taken the dates and comments from Jeff's email and put them in a table format, as that might make it easier to review the different tasks and dates that have been proposed. So the first task is the completion of the draft final report, and the target date that Jeff has set there is the 1st of February. So that's just looking at the calendar, that would leave us basically three meetings to cover all the outstanding issues and make sure that people have reviewed the actual draft document that's already out for a while now. James, do you just want me to run through it and then we just take comments, or you want to stop at each task?
What do you think would be faster? I think running through the entire thing and then taking comments afterwards would probably be the most expeditious way to get through this.
Okay. So then the next task would be the public comment period on the draft final report, which would run between the 1st of February and 25th of March. Jeff notes there that, you know, he's taken some margins here on, you know, it's noting that the 1st of February deadline might be ambitious, as there's still quite some work that needs to be done. And I think he allows as well for some additional time after the ICANN meeting. I think just for the record here as well, the publication deadline for documents that are to be considered or discussed at the meeting in San Francisco is the 21st of February. So then basically following that, we would have the preparation of the final report, so that would leave us 25th of March to the 30th of April to review the comments and integrate those that are deemed relevant into the final report. Jeff knows that he thinks his time might be short, but I guess this partly will depend as well on the number of comments received and how substantial these are. And then the PDP working would submit the report to the PPSC, who would then consider the report between the 1st of May and the 27th of June, noting that in this time frame there might also be a back and forth between the PPSC and the PDP work team on issues that are flagged by the PPSC, following which it would be submitted to the Council with a target deadline of the 27th of June.
Okay, and that lines up with the ICANN meeting in Asia, is that correct?
I think that's correct. Yes.
Okay. Alan?
Yeah, just on pure formatting, in the time period, if you included in there in brackets the number of weeks, the number of weekly meetings or the number of weeks that's included, that would be really helpful in getting in being able to gauge or some measure like that, being able to gauge how realistic this is. And I'm talking about more specifically for council, because there's been a lot of calls to shorten the time period. And I think when you start looking at a breakdown and how many weeks are allocated for each of them, which includes the potential for public comment periods, I think it'll become, hopefully it'll become clear to people that it's not overly generous. In terms of the actual content, it is aggressive, I think. And I worry, but can we really do everything necessary, for instance, in the first section within the next three meetings? And I'm not sure if this meeting is even counted in that list of three. So we've got to publish some dates, and I think this is as good as any. I'm not sure if minor refining at this point is going to really give us any more accuracy than what we have in this draft. Certainly seeing the number of weeks and number of weekly meetings for each of those sections might help trigger us to say, no, this is not realistic. But other than that, I think the overall thing is as good as it's going to get, and how likely we are to meet it is not clear to me. Quality here matters. It's not an issue of getting something out to meet the deadline, regardless of whether it's sort of acceptable and useful or not. We're going to suffer for years if we get anything wrong in a major way that we can't fix. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. And Marika, you had your hand up?
Yeah, this is Marika. I have no problem. I can add indeed the number of weeks contained in each section, or how many weekly meetings that would equate to give some more clarity. Just one comment, because I agree that I think especially the first task is very ambitious, because indeed it would leave us after this meeting three meetings to get through the different outstanding issues and incorporate those into the report and review that report. I think the only way that we would actually be able to achieve that if we could actually set a deadline for people to review the draft as it currently stands, noting that, of course, we are making changes to those issues that have been identified as outstanding issues. But I'm wondering if we could maybe set a target date for when people should review the current draft and provide comments and edits on the mailing list, so that we don't all wait until the last moment to suggest changes, which might result in further discussions if they're important changes that people are suggesting. So I wonder if that's an additional target date that we could add to this, if people are willing to commit the time to maybe do that in the next 2 weeks, for example, that at least we can close that chapter. And when we do the next review, it just means that we can adopt all the track changes that are currently in the document and only focus on those that have been made based on the discussions on the outstanding items.
Okay, Marika, I think that's a good idea, especially given that if you have both the final items coming back into the draft at the same time that people are suggesting edits, I think it gets very confusing for the person holding the pen to figure out which is which, especially if they're in conflict. So what is the sentiment on the group for establishing a cutoff for the current draft as it exists today for review and edits by, I guess that would be by the, are we saying the 21st of January? Is that what you're thinking, Marika?
Yeah, that would work. And as I said, I mean, it doesn't mean that then no other changes are going to be made. It's just, you know, people making the commitment to actually review the draft as it currently is. So then in the next draft, we can just focus on those changes that have been made based on our discussion of the outstanding items or any issues that have been identified by people as needing further discussion, you know, as they are in the current draft.
Right. So it's more of a desire to get the bulk of the edits to the existing draft reviewed or submitted before before we start to open the floodgates for public comment and other materials to come in.
Yeah, Avery's had
right.
a hand up several times. I'd really like to know what it is she's objecting to.
Well, I see it's not a hand. It's a it's an objection box. Avery, do you want to weigh in on this?
If you'd like. I object to setting cutoffs because cutoffs are meaningless. Basically, people have set cutoffs lots of times, and then, you know, the right person submits something after the cutoff, and we say, oh, well, okay, yeah, fine, okay, because we can't. I just believe cutoffs are meaningless. I think it's a good idea to encourage everybody to do it and to, you know, but to say we're going to establish a cutoff just is meaningless.
Okay, but what is the alternative then to, you know, to prevent against the kind of competing edits that we would see if we didn't have something like that?
I don't really understand the idea of competing edits. I think if we have made a change based on an edit today that then gets a competing remark tomorrow, it really doesn't matter whether we're weighing the two competing comments against each other while making the edit or weighing what we've changed it to based on first one against the second. So, I mean, we have to weigh all the competing points of view together at some point. So I just don't see that, you know, it makes, certainly we should try to finish everything that's on our plate before we go and get more. I think that makes sense. But you know, having spent a month since Cartagena doing nothing, to all of a sudden say, okay, now we will finish in 2 weeks with everything that's been on our plate for the last 2 months or a month and then move on is just it's just artificial. And so you do ask, does anybody object to the idea? So I said, yeah.
Okay, fair enough. You know, I think I'm going to go back to the queue here because I can see that there's some folks lining up. Marika? Alan, if you don't mind, I always defer to ask this in case you need to respond.
Yeah, this is Marika. I just wanted to comment on Avery saying that, you know, I agree that, of course, at the end of the day, you want to see all the edits and all the proposed changes. But what my point is here is that basically the outstanding issues is what staff has identified in the report as saying, look, these are issues that, you know, we didn't really discuss in detail or we didn't reach a conclusion, so we need to have some further discussion to be able to, you know, put actually some language in the report. And in some cases, we've outlined some potential options or notes for the group to consider. But on the other items that are currently in the report, basically what we've done is looked at our discussions and basically translated that into language in the report. And I don't think anyone has taken the time yet to go through that. And my concern is that if we wait until all the edits in there are in there, and then people go like, oh, but, you know, I didn't realize that, you know, we agree to this change or, you know, I actually don't agree how that has been interpreted, that we basically go back and reopen the whole discussion again. So the reason why I'm, you know, advocating for having a cutoff date or a deadline for reviewing the current draft is so that people can actually flag issues that weren't identified in the outstanding items list that they feel, you know, are not closed and, you know, they don't agree with how that's written up in the report. That will be, you know, I think on minor edits, like, you know, a comma here or a spelling mistake, I don't think we're going to have a cutoff date for that, because I think anyone will appreciate, you know, we don't want to send out a report that has stuff in there that's incorrect. But I'm talking more about the big issues, and I really want to make sure that we've discussed those and covered all of those, and don't, you know, realize, you know, one day before we're actually wanting to publish the report that there's some big items there that, you know, people just didn't realize that, you know, they didn't like them or didn't agree with. So that's the main reason why I'm proposing to have a deadline or a target date for people to actually review it and you know, share their comments with the list.
Okay. Thanks, Marika. And I tend to agree. I think anything that we can do to help Marika manage all of those incoming changes would probably be helpful. Avery, would you be open to the idea of, you know, setting, like Marika said, not necessarily a deadline to lock out further edits, but more of just a target, and to encourage everyone that, you know, there is this current existing report out there. You have had some time to review this, and we would like to make sure that everyone has, you know, as a group, has reviewed this and submitted their edits by the 21st of January. And it's, again, it's not closing the door for future edits. It's just essentially, you know, it's a little bit of a, you know, poking everyone with a stick and saying, you know, this is out there, it hasn't changed, and it's about to change again. So now is the time to get some thoughts in there. And I see that your red X has become a green check mark. Does that go for the rest of the group as well? I'm going to take silent to be consent. Here, and I see some green check marks. Okay. Okay, Marika, so we will do that then, and maybe we'll add this into the chart here that we're going to encourage everyone to have their the current version reviewed and edits submitted by the 21st of January, because we're about to move into a new phase of edits after that. I put myself in the queue because I have a question, and it may be that I'm just missing something big here, but what will this group be doing during the time that this report is open for public comment? And I think that's in the February through March time frame. So, you know, I mean, how will we as a group be moving the ball forward, you know, while this report is out there for public comment? And I'm just kind of throwing that out for discussion, if anyone has any ideas. Go ahead, Marika.
Listen, Marika, I definitely have an idea. I'm, you know, as I've advocated before, I'm really hoping that everyone will take the report back to their respective constituencies and stakeholder groups and present it and, you know, have a discussion on what the big changes are and have a dialogue going there on what issues there might exist and encourage everyone to submit public comments. I'm hoping as well that we can have a similar kind of workshop or presentation in San Francisco to encourage, you know, ICANN community to, you know, pay attention to this report and you know, get people to provide input. And I think as well something that, of course, we could do like we did as well in the last time. If we see that people need more time, we could already start reviewing comments that have come in and work our way through it, you know, as an open process. But I guess it depends a bit on when people submit them. And the time we have left, I guess, you know, people can work on the other working groups.
Okay. Well, I just wasn't clear on what was happening during that, looks like, 8-week period there. Alan, thank you for being patient. Go ahead.
Okay, a couple of things. I did have some comments, but they were addressed by what you have already come, the decision you've already come to. I'll point out that comments are, you're calling them edits. And I'm saying I suspect there are going to be areas where people raise concerns. They don't necessarily have a suggested solution, or simply that the group has to come to a conclusion on something. So they may not all be edits that are being raised. They may just be comments or concerns. And that those are harder to resolve than just having Marika, you know, insert the three words in that they feel someone feels is appropriate. In light of that, and in light of the fact that some of the issues raised may well be substantive, and our time frame is actually more compressed than we're talking about when you factor in the public comment periods, as you just pointed out, we're not going to be very active during some of those periods as a group. I would strongly recommend, and I don't kill me for saying it, that we find an acceptable time at the beginning of the week to hold a second weekly meeting, and not necessarily hold it every week, but that we know we have one set aside that we can invoke when necessary without starting a doodle at that point, and take the time right now to do it well so we get reasonable attendance at the second meetings. Because I see that there's going to be a need for two meetings a week when we go into the heavy work periods of this process. And I think we should be prepared for it and not do it at the last moment. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Alan. And that idea of having a second meeting, do you see that applying to all phases listed on this table or just...
No, as I said, I think it's probably going to be necessary in the very first phase. And perhaps in the period where we're responding to comments, if we get comments, I just think we should have a time allocated which we know is acceptable to most of the members of this group, so that we can schedule it when necessary, and we don't have to go through the process of discovering a good time at that point. So we should have two on the steady state agenda, although we may only hold one on typical weeks.
Okay. I think that's a good idea, at least to get ahead of that now, especially when you consider that we're off for 8 weeks accepting comments, and then we're only on for 4 weeks processing those comments.
And moreover, this particular phase is going to be one of the more intense ones to get that the document out for February 1st.
Right. Okay.
So I think we're going to need the second week, the second meeting a week towards the end of this month, also.
Okay. I will send that over to Jeff, but what does the group feel about that that idea of at least reserving in advance a second session that we can fall back to get some of these heavier items done in the first and third period? Oh, that was an error on my part. Let me change.
You announced your error before the X showed up on my screen.
Oh, that's latency. So, okay, Marika, could you send out or could your folks put together a doodle for when that second session would likely fall? And I'm thinking that it doesn't make any sense to do it on a Thursday because that really wouldn't allow for any work to occur in between the two sessions. So, are you thinking like a Monday or a Tuesday, Alan?
It's got to really be a Monday because Tuesday doesn't allow much time between the two meetings. So
right.
Monday is preferable. Tuesday is a fallback, I would guess.
Okay.
I'm confused. This is Aubrey. I didn't get my hand up, but I'm confused now about dates. We already have a meeting. What's today? Today's Wednesday. Oh, okay. No, today's Thursday.
Thursday where
so
I am.
So we're talking about a meeting. Yeah. So we're talking about a Monday or Tuesday. Okay, that does make sense. Monday's probably good.
Okay. Okay, Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. I think looking at those days, probably Monday is going to be the most likely alternative as there are a couple of other working group meetings that are already having their weekly meetings on Tuesday. So I'll work with Gisela to identify some times on Monday, and we can send out a doodle and make sure that people understand that this is a reserve slot for a second meeting that we might decide on Thursdays whether we are actually having that meeting or not.
That sounds good. And just so I'm understanding, do we want to assume that that's also a 90-minute meeting or leave it open to possibly a 60-minute meeting?
I'd reserve 90. And, again, we don't have to schedule the whole thing. But,
yep.
But if you only schedule 60, you can't make it a 90 easily.
Nope, you can only... get out of there a little early. I agree with that, Alan. Okay, so I think that we have a few ideas here relative to this timeline. I think everybody understands it's ambitious, if not, overly aggressive. But I think it puts a stake out in the ground and it gives us something to aim for, and we can capture a few thoughts here. One, that we will be encouraging everyone to review and comment on the current draft that has been stable now for at least a month, and we want to get those edits in. Strongly encouraged, emphatically encouraged, those edits to come in by January 21st, which will greatly simplify or at least provide some sanity to the folks from staff as they try to merge all of the changes into the next version of the report. That we would send out a doodle for a reserved second slot on Mondays for 90 minutes, you know, possibly at the same time. I don't know if that works for everybody, but I guess we'll just wait. That's what the doodle's for. We'll see if that comes back. And that with those caveats or those qualifiers, we can then report back to Jeff that the group has signed on to this plan. Sound good?
Yep.
Okay. Great. And I now have us coming up to the top of the hour. So the next phase would be to reconvene the discussions on the matters of substance. I wanted to give Marika time to put that up and get everyone a chance to reset their brains back to early December, which is probably the last time that we took a look at this particular document. And also, before we dive in, just kind of give a few minutes if there's anything that any orders of business that someone would like to tackle, anything quick before we proceed in this, before we change course and go after this. Okay, the queue is clear. So, Marika, where did we leave off on this particular document?
This is Marika. We left off on issue 6, implementation, on page 8 at the bottom.
Page 8. Let me. I don't have the fastest scrolling window in the world here. Okay, we'll give everyone a chance to catch up while we go through issue 6, implementation, and this starting at recommendation 43, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, so the recommendation currently reads the PDPWT recommends creating a working group implementation review team, which would be responsible for dealing with implementation issues. The working group may provide recommendations for how the working group implementation review team might be composed as part of its final report. PDPWT has not arrived yet at a possible recommendation in relation to how the process for reviewing and addressing implementation questions would work and hopes to receive further input on this issue during the public comment period. And there's one comment here, a suggested approach, looks like, help me figure out where this is coming from. Mary Wong's comment might provide some guidance. Is this was this something that was raised during the discussion of this this idea in Cartagena, or was this prior to that?
This is Marika. This is part of the comments she submitted on the initial report. As those comments came in quite late, I think some of them that we touched upon, but I think there in this one she provided some concrete suggestions that the group might want to review. I can actually, if you want, I can post the language that she put in there in a note on the screen.
Well, I guess, and maybe I'm alone on this, I'm just trying to get my mind around the context of both the recommendation and the comment. So this is coming from the PDPWT, which is the other half of this PPSC coin, correct? Or no, this is us.
Right, this is us.
Okay. It threw me for a minute here because I saw working group right after that. And there, we're talking about a standing implementation review team?
Correct. I think, if I recall well, the discussion we had is that in certain cases, a working group might recommend creating an implementation review team that would basically track the implementation and might serve as a consultation body for staff when you know, the implementation plan comes out or if there's specific questions. I think one of the issues we left open is how such a process would work. So I think there we had some discussions, should issues first be taken back to the council, who would then identify whether indeed it's a it's a policy question or whether it's an implementation issue and how that would then feed back to the review team. How can you as well maintain the review team, taking into account that implementation sometimes takes some time, you know, will people still be interested to stay on as a member of a review team after they've you know, already done all the work on a working group? Should this be an ad hoc body that's created by the council when it's deemed appropriate? So I think we had a broad discussion around it, but we didn't really come to any concrete recommendations on you know, how this should work or how it should look and who should be in charge or who decides how things will work.
Okay. Thanks, Marika. I appreciate the background. I see we've got a queue going here, so I'll start with Avi.
Yeah, hi, thanks. Yeah, I think also that the conversation has, and I think as Marika sort of indicated, has moved on in several different directions. So one of them, there has been the discussion in the council, which has, you know, meandered at times on the creation of a general implementation, you know, standing implementations review committee. But that was more about reorganizational things and not necessarily about following through on policies. Within the working groups, they sort of looked at it as, what does a working group do after it's finished its work? The experts, in some case, that you have on the topic are in that working group. So do you want to keep them signed on? Do you want to just assign a couple people as a review team? Do you want to do that? Those were questions. Those are really questions that the working group, working team, didn't have so much within its purview of, you get a charter, you work on it this way. And so it does seem a reasonable thing for the PDP group to look at and say, yes, after a working group has finished a work, those working groups that are PDP working groups, we would like to have them do A, B, C. We would like them to have a core group that remains as a standing group to review the implementation, et cetera. And then whether the details have to come from the council or not, you know, is another sort of bureaucratic issue. You might just say that these working groups just watch and participate with the staff, and they bring issues. They sort of act as you know, reviewers that pass messages to the council when there's something that the council needs to review. But by and large, they're just a resource for, you know, the implementation staff. But that's a PDP issue more than a working group. How does a working group work? It's just that the question came out of there. I think that the working group, work team, sort of closed the issue without saying, you know, there's really nothing there to do. You know, at the most, the working group can make a recommendation in its report to the council, and the council could say, yes, we agree. You know, you should stay open to work with the implementation staff. Or the council could say, no way, you know, we're sick of you people. We want you to go away and stop bothering us and close it down. So I think that's right. So I don't think there's a pending issue on the working group stuff on this, personally. But I think it's a very important issue for what a PDP does in terms of following through. You've seen lots of motions in the council saying, well, you know, what's happening with the implementation and so on. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Aubrey. So a question, and it would be, and I'm not sure if this is outlined in our report, would this be a standing committee or group, or would this be something that is formed only as needed, depending upon the PDP that's coming out of the council? Would it be a subcommittee of the council that acts in this capacity, or members of the original PDP? I'm not sure if we... I have to go back and take a look at the report to see if we've covered any or addressed any of these questions. I'll take myself out of the queue and go to Marika and then Alan.
Yeah, this is Marika. On your question within the report, I would need to look back as well, but I don't recall that we actually discussed like the the notion of a standing implementation review team. I think we discussed more that each working group might make a recommendation that it would be appropriate for an implementation review team to be created following the implementation of their recommendations, noting that for certain cases there might be nothing to implement because there are no recommendations or no consensus. But maybe that's another avenue to explore, and saying maybe the council would want to explore this idea of a standing committee. I know this is also being discussed, for example, in the context of the GNSO improvements. Should there be a kind of standing committee that, once all this work is done, takes over and takes care of any issues that might come up at a later date? So, maybe it should be part of a broader discussion of the role of standing committees in taking care of these kind of issues. So it might be something else to explore.
Okay, thank you, Marika. And then Alan, you're next.
Yeah, I definitely do not think this is a GNSO standing committee. I think it's absolutely crucial that it involves people from the PDP. If you look at why are we talking about this, we're looking at it to partly be a sanity check to make sure that what's being implemented, in fact, is following the intent of what the PDP suggested. The second is to act as a sounding group if there are questions or options on how to implement, or if staff finds it's not implementable, what is a reasonable alternative given that situation. And I think you need people who are participating in the overall discussions and who understand some of the rationale behind the intents. So I definitely think it needs subject matters. Whether council decides to add someone else to the group or something like that to look on it from the point of view of council, fine. I think the kind of thing Marika is suggesting, that it be something that the PDP group can recommend as part of its recommendation, is reasonable. I think any PDP is going to have some implementation issues unless it comes out saying we couldn't resolve it and we're just giving up the task, but I think the exact form will vary, whether it's the whole PDP team working group that participates or a subset will depend to some extent on how big the PDP working group was itself. So I think we want to allow for it. We don't want to make it mandatory, and we need some level of flexibility, but I can't think of many cases where it would not need to involve people from the original PDP group. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Alan. Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's one thing to say here's a mechanism that's available for those situations that call for it, and it's another thing to say this is a requirement. And I think that, to separate the folks who participated on the PDP versus the folks who were tasked with reviewing the implementation, I think is probably a good way to lose the intent or some of the subject matter expertise that was built up during the PDP process.
Yeah, I mean, we have another case here where we're tossing a report over a wall to a group of people within ICANN who may not have participated at all in the PDP process and are now supposed to have the great insight to understand exactly what was meant and do it right. And we've had problems in the past, and this is an attempt to address that. Currently, what has happened with PDPs is we send it over to ICANN, the implementation group, and 4 months later or 5 months later, an answer something comes back saying this is how we're implementing it. And we're trying to avoid the situation where people on the PDP working team say that's not what we meant, or that doesn't really accomplish what we were looking for. So.
All right. Okay, next is Alex.
Yes, I think I wanted to support most of the things I wanted to say have already been said, but maybe just to add a new angle to the usefulness, to the new usefulness of the standing committee or the standing work team group, is the fact that they will help resolve the older problem where during the implementation an issue which may arise as a policy issue, and staff may consider it as an implementation issue of the council. So I think the standing committee will help address those issues before they arise, to identify which are implementation and which are policy. And then maybe there's a need to address it as a policy, then they can go back to the original work team. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Alex. And I put myself in the queue here just to test and see if there were any further comments on this subject before we move on to the next item.
I don't have my hand up yet, but I will.
Okay, go for it, Albert.
I have a question. So what did we resolve to do about this? We've talked about it, but are we doing something or are we just moving on?
Well, I think that based on what we're hearing so far is that we are supporting the recommendation as it reads in the report. Is that correct? It sounds like Mary's comment was not necessarily offering a critique of this idea, but more of a support of what, you know, what purpose it could serve or what function it could take up. I think, you know, from my perspective, and I think this is what I'm hearing from Alex and from Alan, is that as long as this is an option that's available and not on the critical path for PDP to become implemented, for PDP working group recommendations to become implemented, that is just one other mechanism that's available should the council and the working group choose to recommend it. And I think that that makes it a lot less controversial. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I guess I don't remember what the text currently says, and I don't have it in front of me. But I think we should at least attach a note that we need to confirm that the text says what, you know, Alan essentially said. And I just don't remember that it does. So thanks.
Okay. Maybe we can check on that. Not in this call, but if we can maybe check on that offline and ensure that some of those elements are captured, Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika, because I think the report itself, you know, we focus now mainly on the recommendation, so it doesn't have the language of, you know, our previous discussions in it. But, you know, what I can do is you know, propose some edits to the recommendation 43 that basically talks about that, you know, I think we strongly recommend that, you know, if working group deems it appropriate, they should recommend as such. This is not mandatory, however, there should be flexibility as different issues might require different approaches. In that kind of way and add that kind of language. Or, I mean, if Alan wants to provide some suggestions or someone else, I'm happy to add those as well. But I include it for the next draft so people can have a look at that and see if that fits with the discussion we had today.
Okay, and I can help you with that as well, Marika. I don't want you to feel like all of this ultimately ends up on your lap. Alan, go ahead.
Yeah, I think Marika has captured what I was going to say in passing, but I'll say it explicitly. I think this, when we say it's an option, I believe it's an option the working group can consider. If the working group, as one of its recommendations, say, set up an implementation working group, then it's one of the formal recommendations. I don't think council has an option to pick and choose, but I think it should be the working group that makes that recommendation, not a council decision. But Marika did imply that in what she said, and I support that.
Well, okay, if I can weigh in on that for just a moment, Alex. I mean, what are the thoughts about, can we envision a scenario where the working group believes that something, that this isn't necessary, submits to council submits to staff, and we go, you know, on through the implementation process, and then later in the process, the council says, wait a second, we think staff's gone, you know, off course here. We need to set up an implementation review team, even though it wasn't recommended by the PDP. I mean,
I think council has that the right to do that, and we may want to say that explicitly, but I don't believe council should have the right to not set one up if the working group recommends it, is what I was saying.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. So, but yeah, yes, you're right. One could after the fact realize it, and we want it there, so the staff can't say sorry. You tossed it over the wall too late.
Right.
I agree. I support that though. Yeah.
Okay. Aubrey, you next.
Yeah, I think I'm going just a slight bit stronger. Not that the working group can consider doing this, but actually that the working group should consider having one, and that there, in normal cases, should be one, because as Alan said, there is almost always an implementation issue. I also agree it's fine that if the working group, like what you said, James, that if the working group did consider it, of course the council can say, hey, you guys should do one of these. So that doesn't seem problematic to me. But I think that we should consider a much stronger recommendation than that they could do this, is that they really should do this unless there's a good reason not to.
Okay, and one good reason not to might be that there's no policy recommendations are coming out of this PDP.
Exactly, right.
Yeah, I support that.
And that's how I think of should. Should is a must, but there might be reasons why it's not a must. But you should.
Yeah, this whole thing is in support of that ICANN policy staff should not be writing the policy while they're doing the implementation. And
yeah. Right. Understood, Alan. Okay. Okay, so I think our action item here is that perhaps Alan and myself can submit some notes to Marika that could become edits to the text surrounding Recommendation 43, and that we could review those as part of our next round of reviews. But I think we're all on the same page here. Are we ready to move on?
Yep.
Okay. Somehow we go from number 6 to number 2, but, you know, that's the ICANN ordinal counting system. recommendation number 45. The PDP work team notes that the GNSO Council review of a PDP working group is important, but has not arrived at any possible recommendations yet and hopes to receive further input on this during public comment. We have a suggested approach here that as part of the working group guidelines, every working group is encouraged to carry out a self-assessment, which should then be submitted to the council. So what are we saying here? We're saying that that we're asking for, like, what, a council report card at the conclusion of each PDP working group? You know, and the recommendation is that the working groups already have a mechanism for self-review. Go ahead, Aubrey. Aubrey, you may be on mute.
Yeah, I am. I was. But perhaps
okay.
Marika wants to go first. I'll stand down.
Okay, go ahead, Marika. Maybe she can shed some light on this here and help us out.
Yeah, this is Marika. Just to clarify, what is in the suggested approach is just to know that in the GNSO Working Group guidelines, which have just been submitted to the GNSO Council, every working group is actually encouraged to carry out a self-assessment at the end of that process, and which would then be submitted to the GNSO Council. So the suggested approach or possible approach would be just to say, okay, we'll refer to what is recommended there instead of creating our own process. We need to look back how specific the GNSO working group guidelines actually go, or whether there is some recommendations that maybe, you know, some kind of metrics or template should be developed to facilitate that kind of review. So again, that might be something that the PDP working might want to reemphasize, or maybe there's a strong feeling that there should be specific review process that the work team would like to propose in relation to PDP working groups.
Okay, thank you. We've got the queue here, Aubrey, and then Alan.
Okay, yeah, Marika said most of what I wanted to say. The only thing I would add is that the working group work team recommends that they consider doing it. What we in the PDP thing can do is require it. In other words, there are many working groups, sometimes the chartering organization, it may be very wispy, it may not matter. And so that's why in the working group work team, everything is a guideline, is consider doing this, consider doing that, because all groups are not created equal. In the PDP case, what we're saying is when the working group is chartered for a PDP, you must do. And then we could even include elements that we thought needed to be included in that. And that's where I'd say the difference lies. You know, we're saying that when you use working groups for PDPs, do X set of things.
Okay. Thanks, Aubrey. I have a question to that, and maybe this is something that's in our report, or perhaps it's implied in the recommendation, but have we defined the role of this? You know, I don't know if the working group guidelines have a recipe or a template that working groups are supposed to follow during this self-review. And where does that, is that published then as an annex to the final report, or what has this been used in the past, or what does it look like?
Can I give it a
yeah,
I already
please,
put down my
ahead.
Hand, that's why I asked.
No, go ahead.
Okay.
Alan's very patient.
Right. I do not think we got explicit against we had a guideline that one should be done. It was not made a prerequisite for the final report as an annex. There may have been an assumption that it get published, it may not. I think in the working group work team, it was seen more as an action that should be taken just so people learn, you know, what went right, what went wrong, and it improves the skills of everybody in a working group. I think, again, this is something that the PDP could require that such a review be done. I mean, there are requirements on the final report that what was the level of participation, what was this, what was that. So that may be part of this. There are certainly no templates for it. It's been recommended many times in working groups. I think it's rarely been done in an ICANN group I've been in. And, again, so this is where the PDP group could sort of, if it wants to, and I'm not recommending that necessarily, can establish, you know, we want you to do it, we want you to submit it as part of the final report, and then we want it to include the following three elements. That doesn't need to be in the generic working group template, but could very well be a PDP requirement.
Okay, thanks, Aubrey. I think that's a little clearer. Marika and Alan, do you mind if I defer to Marika? She usually helps clear up.
No, go ahead.
Okay, Marika?
Yeah, it is, Marika. I just checked back in the Genius or Working Group guidelines, and there indeed the self-assessment tool sheet is not developed yet, but I think it's, you know, the expectation that at some point that will get developed. What is included there, a section on the elements that a charter should contain, and there's one section there that deals with the closure and working group self-assessment, and there it basically reads that this section of the charter should describe any instructions for working group final closure, including any feedback and or self-assessment that is requested by the chartering organization. This section might also indicate if there is any specific form of template or prescribed manner in which the feedback is to be provided. So again, here I think as well, you know, coming back to what Arvi said, I think, you know, people have talked about it, but currently there is no specific format, and as the Genius and Working Group guidelines leave it, it's for the chartering organization to decide that, which of course in the PDP context would be the Genius or Council. So it's left to them to define what should be done when the working group closes and how they should self-assess. And again, there, the PDP work team might indeed want to require that or might, you know, provide guidance or develop even a template that they feel is appropriate to include in the charter of a PDP work team for when they, you know, close the group and how they assess themselves.
Okay, thanks. So there is maybe a placeholder in the working group guidelines, but no template, no prescription. Okay, Alan, you're next. Thanks for waiting.
Yeah, I have this funny thing about not wanting to put rules in place which we know aren't going to be followed. And I think this is one of them. As Avery said, the recommendation's been many times to do self-assessments is rarely done, or even external assessments. The reality is by the time a work group finally finishes and they're working to deadline typically to get a report out in time for an ICANN meeting or in time for some other threshold, the self-assessment is not necessarily on the critical path. Now, I see the merits of it. I see how we could possibly learn from it, although typically the problems are different with each working group and we invent new problems as we go along. So I'm not sure the lessons are all that valuable. I just don't think this is going to get done on a regular basis, and I think it could get done informally between the chair and the council liaison or something like that, and to try to document some of the problems. I just don't think it's something that we should say you must do and must do as part of the final report. I think it'll get done poorly. I think it'll be done politically correctly and not point out that there have been people in the group who are acting, you know, to stop the process from going forward, or the other kinds of problems that do happen. And if you look at the vertical integration one, where there were strong statements made all along saying we're going to need a postmortem, we have to document how it is, you know, why we failed or why we couldn't come to closure or what we did well. And, of course, it didn't happen. The group was so relieved that it was over that it just disbanded. And I think we need to be pragmatic in this recommendation. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. I put myself in the queue, but I think that you captured a lot of what I wanted to weigh in on this here. My first thought is if something is required, then there needs to be some template or rubric to show us how to do a self-assessment. If it's not required, then we have to think about why is it not required, and what purposes would it serve. I can see a group coming out and doing a self-assessment, and it turns into one of these congratulatory exercises where everyone tells everyone else what a jolly good colleague they are.
Or finger pointing.
Exactly. And then the flip side is that if there were problems during the process, then how do you not attach names and associations to that? You know, everything was fine and people were having a lovely party until constituency X came to the microphone and ruined it all. So, I don't know. And then the question is, What effect does that have ultimately on the policy that came out of that group? You know, if everyone agrees that this was a completely flawed and chaotic process, and yet we came up with these, three recommendations for consensus policy, does that invalidate them? Does that give people some latitude in whether or not they want to follow them or implement them? So I think it's you're right, Alan. It turns into a gold star. The group awards itself for, heroism in the face of conference calls, or it turns into, a rehashing of, possible differences or contentious issues on the call on the PDP. And I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm trying to be as pragmatic as possible. I think that in the ideal sense, I could see where it could help inform and educate, I think, newcomers and future working groups, but I have a feeling that it would be used in one extreme or another. I see a big red X there. Aubrey wants to provide a self-assessment on what I just said.
I can't explain why I disagree. You're right. It does require a change in culture. I have been in many groups where such things were done honestly and sincerely, usually done better face-to-face than on a phone call, because people tend to be somewhat more honest with each other when there's the chance of facial expressions and giggling and shouting. But I've seen them be incredibly useful in teaching people about what they didn't know about the dynamics, what they didn't know about how they were perceived by others, et cetera. So I have seen organizations where they are used quite effectively, but it requires becoming such an organization. So, I think that it's good that there's something that is recommended. I'd like to see them done. As I said before, I am not necessarily recommending that they should be tabbed with a should, or that they necessarily should be included in the final report. But I do think that they can be a good thing, and I'd like to see, GNSO and such grow to the point where we could use them as the valuable tools that they are. So that's why I put a big red X. If there was a little pink X I could have put instead of a big red one, I might have used that, but, there is.
Understood. And I think that, you know, the concept is noble and could, you know, yield something valuable. I'm just concerned that how it might play out, I think, in the real world. Alan?
I agree with absolutely everything that Avery just said. I just don't think it should be a rule in our PDP rules on how to do it. I think it should be a process that the GNSO and other parts of ICANN should learn how to do well. But I don't think it should be part of our rule.
Okay. So what do we want to do with this recommendation here? I think everyone is saying that this should be an option, not a requirement. I'm hearing that, and then that this concept maybe needs some further definition. Right now it exists primarily in name only. And then, you know, the idea that it should actually, you know, be encouraged to the point where some working group somewhere along the line actually does this. I guess, how do we massage that into this particular recommendation? Actually, our recommendation reads that we have not arrived at any recommendations. So maybe we need to create one for this out of whole cloth for the next iteration. Any thoughts? Any takers on what something like this might look like? Man, suddenly the queue went dark.
Yeah, it's Alan. I'm not quite sure this is a recommendation of ours, but I guess the only way we have of suggesting things is through formal recommendations. So, you know, the recommendation is Council and or ICANN should develop processes and concepts and guidance.
Okay, does that include, a template or a recipe for how to conduct a self-assessment?
I guess. I'm perhaps not the best expert in it, but I have participated in ones that are useful. So, you know, I'm not sure a template is the right way to do it. I think guidance is a more generic term.
Okay. Okay, well, what I'll do is, if it's all right with the group, I'll go back over this section of the transcript and recording when it's done, and try to tease out some of the basic concepts and submit those to Marika and the list as a potential language for a recommendation here, recommendation 45. And we can decide at that point if we want to edit, modify it, or throw it overboard altogether. Does that sound like a good path forward?
Sounds good.
Okay. Looks like, moving on here, looks like we're now at the end of these issues and now moving on to a different section here of overarching issues, which, boy, I would love to leave for Jeff. But, I mean, we're now at, we've gone through about 65 minutes and we have another 25 left. Do we want to go over these one by one, or do we want to? Are there any other housekeeping issues we need to take care of before we adjourn for today? I wanted to make sure we left enough sufficient time for that as well. So is there anything anyone would like to raise there? Looks like Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, Marika, this is Marika. On the items that we have left, I think maybe we can be relatively brief on those because, for example, looking at the voting threshold, I think that's something that we discussed in Cartagena, and if people look up on under item, let me just check, item 4, agreement of the council, range to recommendation 41, there seemed to be general agreement at the meeting that it is too early to actually, you know, make any recommendations on the voting thresholds as they were part of the new council structure and the house structure, so more time might be needed to actually review how that works. Now, apart from the recommendation the work team made on the charter of voting thresholds, which is a new one. So there, you know, if people feel that there should be another kind of recommendation, I think there's something to discuss, but it might be something we already addressed. And I think on the decision-making methodology, that is something where people are encouraged to look at the latest version of the Genius or Working Group guidelines, and I can send that out to the list so people can maybe look at that for the next call, or I can abstract the language, basically, so people can actually see whether they feel that it should also apply to PDP working groups, or whether there should be separate requirements for PDP working groups. So there's maybe some homework for the next call. And I think on the first one, on the definitions, I think it's relatively self-explanatory. I think on several parts, especially looking at the procedure manual, we start to define some of the concepts in scope and consensus policies and also the policy development process. So maybe that those are some items that we would just, once we have done our report, take those out and you know, include them as a either in the manual or an appropriate place to have the different definitions ready. So I'm hoping that this part of the discussion won't be as difficult as it maybe looks from at the outset.
Okay, thank you. I hope that's correct as well. Alan?
Yeah, I was just going to say that I wouldn't mind if this call ends early. I have a rather busy day ahead of me, and getting the half hour back wouldn't be a bad thing, or 20 minutes back. So.
Okay. And you're right, we are now down to 20 minutes. I think the question is, what we've resolved today is we've gone through the primary timeline with some edits. We are going to put a stake in the ground for January 21st for comments on the existing report, and set up a doodle for a second time slot reservation on Mondays. We were able to get through item 6 and item 2 on pages 8 and 9, and we were able to introduce the topic of overarching issues.
You're still here.
Okay. I was wondering if that was me or someone disappeared. And then we would, of course, then assume that the doodle would be going out possibly. Well, I guess that's an open question. Supposing that the doodle comes back with an appropriate time beginning next Monday, so Monday the 10th, does the group want to continue on with this work on Monday the 10th and take advantage of that first reservation?
I don't think we're going to have closure by then, so I think it's moot.
Okay. I agree, Alan, but I just wanted to make sure that I wanted to leave open that possibility. And Marika, you're up.
Yeah, this is Marika. I just noted that I forgot one of the items that probably will require some discussion in addition to the last two, and maybe, again, that's something I can put on the mailing list so people can focus on and then hopefully already think about it before the next call, which is transition and how would we move to the new PDP process and, you know, would it affect in any way the PDPs that are ongoing. And then there are two items that we, as staff, identify when we're actually developing the procedure manual that we haven't discussed or haven't raised before, which is the determination of a PDP prior to the final report, and we've made some suggestions there for the working group to review, and then as well amendments or modifications of approved policies. I mean, now the only way is to actually redo a whole PDP, but the question there as well, should there be a way to amend existing policies in a different or shorter way than, you know, going through a whole PDP? So again, just want to flag those, and if everyone agrees, I'll put those different items to the mailing list so people can start thinking about them in time for the next call. And as I said, I think we're making really good progress in working through this issue. So maybe our timeline is not as ambitious after all if we make it through on the next call on these items.
Okay, and if I could just add to that, Marika, perhaps we could put all of the overarching issue, even those ones that we determined were probably fairly brief. You never know. Someone who is on the list but maybe unable to attend the calls, or Jeff, you know, who is absent today, might have some thoughts on that, and we don't want to miss those before we move on. Otherwise, I agree. If we can start to hammer some of those things out on the list, then we don't need to dive into those Monday meetings quite yet. Okay, well, we have just about, 19 minutes left, so sorry about that, Alan, but it's better than zero. And with that, I would just recommend that we adjourn for today.
Great. Thanks, James.
Thanks, James.
Thanks.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.